More with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLandRadio.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man that has a wallet that says bad motherfucker, Mr. Richard Avery.
I don't even have a wallet. What are you talking about?
You don't? You're a rich man.
I just carry wads of cash.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, just roll it up.
Do you rubber band it?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's like the girls do, except for they use hair ties.
Yeah, exactly. I keep mine in a white envelope at all times.
And you hand it to your landlord and say, here's rent.
Exactly. Slide it over. Here's my rent. I pay everything with cash. Everything.
Very nice. Cash only. Cash. You're
cash.
Done. Cash is king. Yeah. The new little chip thing that's in my new debit card annoys the fuck out of me.
I know, me too.
It's like, I like swipe. I don't like stick and wait and wait and wait and wait. So,
I know, it's lame.
You know, I brought up that little pop culture reference.
Yes.
Because today we're going to do one of our now world famous, global things, the Get to Know You episode.
Who are we going to get to know today,
We're
Mo?
Going to get to know a guy who I think might be a slight, just a little bit of a fan of a certain movie director.
Uh-huh.
Today I have brought in a guy who goes by Tarantino Triple X. Mr. Tarantino, how are you today?
Hello, Mr. Mo.
Is it like I'm looking at it going, is it Tarantino Triple X or is it Tarantino
So what is it? Do you go by Tarantino Triple X?
Tarantino Triple X. A lot of, you know, if I'm out and about at industry events or whoever, I'll introduce myself as my real name. I'll say, hey, I'm Adam. But then I'll tell everybody, oh yeah, but I'm known as Tarantino Triple X. Because most of the time when they say, who the fuck are you? Who's Adam? And then when I say, oh, I'm Tarantino Triple X, then...
Can you tell people you're Mr. Tarantino Triple X? Would that work?
Guess that could be a way to introduce, but, you know.
Now, obviously, there's... we are covered under a lot in the industry under parody. There's some porn parodies left and right. You know, you have Saturday Night Live in mainstream that is all parody.
Yeah.
How do you get away with using the Tarantino name? Is it the Triple X that saves you, or... just nobody noticed.
I think it's the Triple X that does save me. And, you know, I get this question all the time from any new people that I meet. You know, they'll say, how come does Quentin Tarantino, like, know about you? Does he care that you're using his name? And I'm like, no. I mean, he hasn't really said anything. I mean, I've been using that name for 5 years now in porn, so I don't think that he might. You know, at first, I keep hearing conflicting stories that he doesn't care and whatnot. But I haven't heard anything, so I guess, you know, but... the reason that I technically use his name is because when I started in porn, I needed something to pop off, something to get me noticed instead mm-hmm. of just using, hey, I'm Adam so-and-so, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted something, and at the time when I started, it was when the parody thing was huge in porn. It's still a little huge now, but it was enormous back then. And so I needed I figured, well, here's a way for me to kind of pop in the industry using a world famous name of somebody who I admired, and I just didn't really just randomly, you know, select a director's name.
Scorsese, okay, Triple X.
Yeah, let me use Scorsese, or let me use somebody else. You know, I actually thought about, okay, what name do you want to use that'll pop off?
I could just see him like at home. Scorsese, no. Spielberg, no. And just like going through directors' names. Yes, who else? Like, what other movies do I like? I don't know. Bay Triple X, Fuqua Triple X, Fincher Triple X. That's what I'll be. Fincher Triple X.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the name's synonymous and recognizable. So it's like it just felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I hear both sides of it. People in the industry think it's a good idea. Some people think it's a bad idea. I really don't care. It was a way for me to get in and make myself a little bit noticeable, and then kind of started off from there, and then let my actions and my product speak for themselves going forward, instead of just using, oh, hey, I'm Tarantino Triple X. Oh, I'm hey, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
No, you do parodies of his movies. Most, I believe Kill Bill.
Mostly, yeah. I've done Pulp Fiction. I've done Kill Bill. I've done Jackie Brown. I've done Kill Bill. I've done Django. Getting ready to finish. I just finished a parody of The Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Movie that he just came out with. It's a lesbian girl movie. My first actual lesbian girl movie that I'm getting.
Who's starring in that?
Oh, we got Lily Cade.
I was gonna say Lily Cade has to be in this.
Yeah,
movie.
We had. Well, Lily Cade was the one that was. When I make my parodies of Tarantino stuff, most of the time when you do make parodies, you know, people think, oh, you're just taking their material and you're just putting sex in it. Me, I like to put a different spin on it to make it a little bit different, so it's not so much I'm just taking the source material and copying and adding sex. What I do when I make the Tarantino parodies in specific is I take basically I take his characters within his universe of films in his universe, and then I just kind of pick a right story that he kind of did and maybe kind of turn it into a porn version and kind of mash them, the characters, up in the universe in a kind of story that he would do. Like for instance, when I did the first one, which was the Pulp Fiction parody, I took several characters. I took, you know, the Mia Wallace character. I took the Sam Jackson, the John Travolta character, and I put them together with Uma Thurman's The Bride from Kill Bill and kind of threw them in that Pulp Fiction world and mixed them up together. And, you know what I mean? So I just kind of do that. So when I did this Hateful Eight parody, which is called the Hate Men Eight, get it? Hate Men Eight.
This is the He-Man Women Haters Club?
Hate Men Eight. Well, and so I based it on female Tarantino characters, and I sort of took the premise that he did for his movie where he took eight strangers and put them in a cabin. So I came up with an idea to put eight female Tarantino characters, make them like pseudo-psycho lesbians, and put them all in a setting, and then have them go at it. And
who's,
you know what I
mean? So who are the girls in this eight?
We got Lily Cade. We got Lotus Lane. We have this new girl named Audrey Noir. We have Jessica Ryan. We have September Rain. We have Skylar Madison. We have, who are the other two? I'm thinking that I'm brain farting right now. Savannah Fire and a to-be-determined girl that I'm not going to reveal right now until the movie comes out.
He can't remember her name.
I know. I'm just not gonna tell you. Okay, I'll be honest. Okay, I'll be honest with you. We haven't finished shooting. I got one more scene to shoot, and then we'll finish it. That's okay. Why I haven't got
cool
the last girl yet.
So it's obviously true parody. And
yeah.
Do you have any desire to branch off from? I mean, Tarantino only has so many movies.
Yeah, I mean he does, and I've been doing it for, and Mr. Avery, I've been doing it for 5 years now. I've been kind of doing the parody thing, and so I kind of I think it's kind of time to kind of, you know, people know me in porn now. They know the shtick that I've done, and kind of to get my name out there. And so you're right. I think it's time now to kind of branch off and to do something else. So I'm gonna take.
I think you should just change your name. And then do that person's films. Like all of a sudden become Scorsese XXX, and then you go through his movies. I got Casino to choose from. Da, 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 da. Then you come up with the next one. Okay, I'm done with his movies. And you start with Burton XXX, and you do Batman.
Oh, that's Batman.
And Batman.
And Batman Returns.
Well, I think, it sounds like a good idea, but I think
it's a horrible idea. With you don't have to go with that at
all. Well, I know, but I'm just saying with this.
Trust me, it was insane.
There's so many superhero parodies now, just kind of like, you want to do something different. And I always... Anytime that new person comes up.
Okay, then do Kramer XXX, as in Stanley Kramer, and you can do XXX versions of Singing in the Rain.
I mean,
you've gone off the rails here.
I'm just trying to think of things.
I know. I mean, those are great sounding ideas. I mean, you could kind of venture off, but I think now I just kind of need to kind of take a step back, and I'm working on different things, because I had a conversation with a director friend of mine. Who's been in the business for 20 years, and he was, you know, we had kind of sat down and chatted for a day, and he was telling me, you know, yeah, you're Tarantino, you did the Tarantino thing, you've done it for 5 years, and everybody knows who you are. You kind of need to be a little bit more personal. You need to branch off and be a little bit more personal. Everybody knows who you are. Kind of do something a little different, and it inspired me a little bit, and kind of become Adam. Become Adam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
like, what does Adam want to say?
What would Adam want to do now that he's in porn? So it inspired me, and so now I'm working on this new website coming out. It's called Scrambled X, and it's a little bit more personal website. It's going to be run by Adam, the real me, and stuff like that. And it's basically – it's going to be kind of like dark storytelling, cinematic, that are kind of influenced by 1980s, 1990s pop culture porn. Sort of in a way, you know, because I grew up in the 1990s era of porn. That's the era I grew up watching, and and so I feel that we as an industry need to go back to some of those roots and bring back some cinematic elements and storytelling. And there's several websites now and several companies that are starting to get back to those roots. And so with this new website, I'm going to kind of do something a little like that, but a little bit different.
I'm thinking of 90s porn, and I'm thinking, oh my God.
Bring back Kylie Ireland.
I think about, like, because I was there. I was there, you know, and I was like thinking, wow. The only thing difference between, I always say, the difference between now and then was that it was, now is HD, then it was SD. And the girls had Bush, and now the girls don't have Bush.
No, they have Bush.
They have Bush now.
Yeah, Bush, I mean, I know, but yeah, I know. Definitely, it's coming. It's coming back.
No, it's been coming back for like 2 years, and I'm so tired that the Bush is back. It's like, God damn.
I know. I hate it.
Can
too.
We go back to bald pussies? I'm just.
So my question is, like, when did you fall in love with Tarantino? First of all, because I don't like any of his movies. Honestly, I don't like any of his movies.
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting.
I was like, but you know, is he going to say it?
I don't. I just don't think he's a good director.
Well, and that's fine. I mean,
not that I've seen. I've only seen like two of his movies.
Feel free to disagree with anything he said.
No. I mean, you know, I've been a movie fan since I was 4 years old,
okay.
And I owe pretty much my entire career number one to my dad. You know, my dad was the one that, as a young kid, he was always watching movies at home. He was always taking us to the drive-in movie theaters back in the 80s. And so I would always watch movies constantly, you know, mainstream movies, not porn movies. And so, you know, that'd be wrong. But, and so as I got older and in my teenage years, and I just appreciated movies and stuff. And then for, you know, back when I was 13, I saw Pulp Fiction for the first time ever on cable.
Okay.
Or DVD, not DVD, VHS. My dad would rent it and brought it over, and I remember watching that movie at that age and just being like, wow. And of course, when the bad parts came out, every time the bad parts of movies came out, because I wasn't supposed to be watching rated R movies, my mom wouldn't allow it. But my dad did anyways. He didn't care. But when the bad parts came out, he says, okay, Adam, either close your eyes or go into your room. And I'll tell you when to come when the bad parts are up. So I remember Pulp Fiction coming on. And I remember every time the bad part came in, you know, he'd be like, Adam, go in the room or close your eyes. So I'd go in my room or close my eyes. Okay, you can come out now. So I can come out and watch the rest of the movie. So from then on, I was just mesmerized by that movie. Yeah. And then I went back and watched Reservoir Dogs. And then just.
So, question to you is, like, was that the first movie that you really remember?
Yeah.
What was yours?
First Pulp Fiction?
Or like the first movie that really grabbed you.
Oh.
Don't tell me Breakfast Club.
I was going to say my first Tarantino movie was Pulp Fiction.
No, but I'm saying overall movie.
Overall?
That really,
overall, like, movie that grabbed my attention from like early. Honestly, corny as it is, one of my earliest movies, I remember all the 80s movies that I saw at the drive-in, but one of the ones that I remember that really stuck out to me was Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. I remember seeing that, and I mean, I saw Ghostbusters, I saw, you know, I saw Aliens, I saw all those, but for some reason, that movie, the earwig thing that goes into his ear, that whole thing is, I remember seeing that at the drive-in and being really, Night of the Living Dead also.
Yeah.
I was scared shitless of that movie watching it, and it was years before I got over that.
Yeah.
It was because I was really, really young when I saw it.
Yeah.
What about you with your first like actual non Tarantino?
It'd probably have to be The Empire Strikes Back, nice. Star Wars, because you know that it would have to be either that, and then also I'd have to include Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead from 1978. It's my dad's favorite movie. He loves that movie. And I remember the funny thing is when my mom was pregnant with me in 1980, he took my mom to go see that at the drive-in when she was pregnant with me, and she was kind of surprised that he kind of the Jedi mind tricked her into seeing that movie. Yeah. She says, yeah, I remember I was pregnant with you when your dad took me to see that movie. So that was sort of an influence.
Nice. So, that's funny.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't just all about Tarantino. It was more of movies in general.
Movies, yeah.
And then from that point on, because when I was growing up, I was isolated. I was an isolated kid. My mom did not allow me to do anything outside of the world. She was basically a cross between the overprotective mother from The Water Boy. She was kind of like reminiscent of that. Everything is evil outside this world, Adam. You don't go out and do things. You need to be in your room.
I went to the mother from Carrie. They're all gonna laugh at you.
She was,
yeah, exactly.
But you know, she was
your dirty pillows.
But she was a.
I'm trying to think what my mom was.
I'm trying to think. No,
my mom was that mom from Mama. Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, God.
She was in The Goonies, too. That I can't remember her name. But,
I know. Poor lady died.
Yeah,
no, but I hear what you're saying. It's like so funny, too, because movies influenced me and the reason I'm a photographer. Yeah. It's a huge thing. And so I think when we are young, some of those images just don't leave.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, you just like...
No, I mean, they don't. And, you know, when you're isolated in your room and all you have is comic books, all I had was comic books, music, and movies, and television. So it was just like in my room when I'm not at school, in my room watching movies. Dun, 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 dun. So thank you, Mom and Dad. You turned me into what I am today. not saying it's a bad thing, but just kind of like how it was, you know, once I started.
Now, we've talked about your directing, but you also do some performing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I performed in my movies and I performed in the industry the 5 years that I've been directing and writing. And
how many scenes do you think you've done?
I have about 25.
Nice.
At 25. And that's the biggest misconception, how that I moved to Los Angeles and kind of made the porn thing full-time for me, is I'm trying to like tell everybody, hey, you know, I can not only direct and write in PA, but I can perform for you if you need me to be. And a lot of directors that I meet up with, they're like, I didn't know you directed. Yeah. You know, like I just had a conversation with a director at the AVN party the other day, and he's like, well, I didn't know you performed. Well, yeah, I mean, come on, you could see my movie. Obviously, no one watches my movies. They say they've seen it, but if you actually watch my movie, you would see. There's my cock right there.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, porn people, yeah. It's rare that, because I don't watch much porn. I fast forward through the sex parts.
I just look at the opening credits and the closing credits.
Those are usually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
No, they're not. So performing, is this something you want to, you're focusing on the directing, but is the performing something that you want? Is it more for the fun of it? Is it more a career? It helps you out in your movies? What's your reason for performing?
It's a combination of those things. It's for fun. It's for the experience, and it's to make sort of my movies better with directing. And I kind of going back to Quentin Tarantino. He said there was a quote that he did back in, I think, 95. He said that, because, you know, people ask him, why the heck do you always put yourself, because everybody thinks he's a terrible actor. And granted, he's not the best actor, but he's okay. And one person asked him, why are you always putting yourself in every movie you do? And he had answered back, well, because I'm kind of an actor's director. I want to be in front of the camera because I want to experience being an actor and take that into directing and vice versa, you know what I mean? So I kind of remembered that quote, and sort of when I wanted to be a filmmaker, I was thought, well, yeah, I kind of want to experience being an actor and kind of take that back and vice versa, and also have fun with it, because I like sex and I'm very open and I'm very...
So how many movies have you done, directed then?
I've directed 10 movies.
Are they all with the same company?
All within my company, Tarantino.
Oh, your own company?
Yeah, TarantinoXXX.com.
And what are you distributed through? Who distributes?
Just TarantinoXXX.com.
Wow.
I'm impressed. I distribute it through other, like, I have some distribution video on demand accounts with, you know, the companies like Adult Empire
and all that
and
stuff.
Game Link and stuff like that. Those are, I would guess, call my distribution companies. I don't an actual legitimate distribution company because
I thought a lot, I don't know how it works anymore, really all that much anymore, but like, I just remember, like, if you had a company, you would have somebody you would distribute.
Yeah.
The physical product that you didn't want to have your own shipping department with a box.
It's getting harder and harder to do that, because you have to have such a library for anybody to be able to be interested in you, especially if you're going for DVD.
Yeah, 25 years ago when Julie, was doing my company, Ashton View, we were doing movies. She was distributed through Wicked Pictures. Mm-hmm. So we would make the movies, the DVDs, and then they would take care of it all.
Exactly.
And distribute them and do all that stuff. So everything was through Wicked Pictures.
Those days are still here and people still do that, but it's harder and harder to find people that are distribute, you know, 10 movies. If you have 10 movies, it's hard to go into a distributor and say, hey, I have these 10 movies. I'd like you to put them out and get into stores, because sales, it's all difficult. And also they want you to be able to then create at least a movie a month, if not a movie, you know, two, three, four movies a week. They always want a new release.
I just saw Lindell, and he was saying they're doing 2 movies a month now, I think. And he was doing, I think they had, I forget, I had asked him about distribution as well, what they were doing. They're doing something. No. But I just know, I thought that companies, all everybody had to have like that company that did the distribution side.
And
of it.
A lot of them do, but another thing that helps them is money. I'm not saying I'm
you're not
poor,
rich,
but I'm no, not rich.
Oh. I thought you were. You pulled up in a limo. And who are these four girls with you
that are tied up in the corner?
Those are yours. Those are yours, Mo.
Quiet.
I get it. It's a tough business.
It's a tough business, but you know, and I'm kind of like at the bottom of the barrel. I like to think so. I'm just kind of like working my way up to kind of and working for.
But the thing is, though, is just, I mean, a major thing is that you are doing it. Yeah. That's the whole thing. It's something that you're passionate about, and you're actually doing it. Because there's so many people that go through and say, "I want to do this," and then they never do it. It's like you're doing this. You don't just go to your other job and just say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to do this project on the side," and just never do it. It may be tough to do it, but at least you're you're putting in the effort, and hopefully you're getting something out of it, that you enjoy. Hopefully the money comes at some point in time, but you never know.
Yeah, and I mean, it does. The ultimate goal for me is not necessarily just to be like, you know what, I want to make money and make money. Money is really not an issue with me. The only goal for me is consistency. Mm-hmm. I want consistent work and consistent stuff coming at me to sit there and say, hey, you know, and if it requires me to work for other directors and start from the bottom and work my way up, and if it takes 10, 20 years, that's fine. I don't care. I just don't want to go back to the previous life that I was in for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to.
When I started Julie Land, my business plan, and this is 12 years ago, and I went around the Porn Valley and had all sorts of meetings with people. And my partner at the time was Julie Ashton. Have you ever heard of her?
Yes.
Okay. So Julie and I, she moved away to go get married and live the good life, which she's doing now. But I ran around and I told everybody that I wanted to make a company that had nothing to do with porn, but had a lot to do with naked girls. And the two keywords I started out with in every business meeting and every business plan I made was quality and consistency.
Yeah.
And I always tell people all the time, and now 12 years later, I go, and I'm shutting it all down now. It's like I tell people all the time, it's one thing I never lacked. It was those two things are the most important thing to me. I didn't worry about making money because I didn't make any, but I was like, I just wanted to have quality from day one and the consistency. And I think that's, you keep those things going, I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine because your name will get associated to those things. Boob, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean,
as a brand.
Yeah, and I'm always, and people in the industry, you know, my colleagues and peers, you know, they always every time they come to see me, they're like, "Wow, Adam, you're so nice. You're always nice. You always have a positive
attitude." I thought he was an asshole.
That's what you said before you got here.
Okay, but I mean, everybody's like, "You're so nice, and you're so likable, and you're always have a positive attitude," and da 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 da. And I'm like, "Well, you know, it's what I'm passionate about. Movie making and porn is what I've accustomed to, and." You know, being from when I was 15 years old watching porn, when I wasn't supposed to be watching.
Well, we were never supposed to be
watching. But it just kind of, then I did the 9-to-5 regular, it was a regular Joe Schmo for 20 years. And then I'm just like, you know what, I'm 35 years old now, I'm passionate, it's time to do this. And, you know, again, it's all about the passion and the consistent quality for me at the end of the day. And I'm proud of what I've done so far. I'll be proud of it 10 years from now. I'll be proud of it when I'm a dirty old man, when I'm 80, you know.
Yeah, well, like I've said it for years. I've been around it for forever, and I've been creating forever. But it's like I tell people this all the time. It's like you can't explain why you do something, and you shouldn't have to. You just do what you want to do. Follow your dreams. Follow whatever thing you want to do. But and just understand, you're not going to become a millionaire off of it. You're not going to become a famous superstar, and who gives a fuck? But at the end of the day, you can say you're doing what you love, and you only have to answer to yourself. Nobody's got a gun to your head forcing you to do this shit.
But I mean, you know, to me, I like to, as I come from, you know, a family of hardworking, you know, by the book, right or wrong, don't cut corners, do what's necessary and sacrifice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I see a lot of people in the industry cut corners and to get the easy way in. There are a lot of bad days that I have. And so, I sit there and think to myself, God, if I did cut this corner, you know, maybe I would be. But then again, at the end of the day, I'm like, no, I can't do that. You know, I'd rather.
And they won't be around 10 years from now. No. And you still will be. Yeah, trust me.
That's how the attitude that I kind of.
I can tell you a million stories again, because I've been around too long. But it's like, just keep doing what you're doing. Follow your dream. Do it with integrity as best as possible. And then, like I said, keep quality and consistency. No matter what, and if you have to not make an extra few bucks because you need to have a certain thing, a certain kind of camera, a certain kind of set, or a certain kind of prop, or pay extra for a certain type of girl or talent, you do it because that's really what matters most. You have to look at your product and kind of go, like, that's what I wanted to make. Or as I always like to say, I just do the best with what I got. Like, I always make the best with what I got.
Exactly.
Lemonade out of lemons, applesauce out of apples.
The term that I always use is chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the term I always use.
Exactly. And that, you're exactly right. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, I always say, could I do better if I had more to do with? Yeah, of course. But I'm doing the best I got. Like, half of the shit that I created in Julieland is done, like, with practically nothing and no money. And I'm proud, now that I'm shutting everything down, I'm proud of the fact that I updated 5 days a week for 9 straight years. 5 days a week, 9 straight years. Who's done that? And I created all the content for 9 straight years.
It's amazing.
That's insane. That's a lot of fucking shit.
Humble brag.
I know, huh?
No, it's great. I love it.
I'm not as dumb as I look.
No, you're really good. I wanted to jump topics real quick. And this is because this is fairly recently. We had a legislative hearing or meeting, I don't know which to call it, up in Sacramento.
A gathering.
Yes. And we don't normally talk about politics on the show, but this is the politics of porn. And we recently had Eric Paul Loya on as a guest, who's the FSC executive director. And I'm on the board of directors for the Free Speech Coalition. And first off, I want to thank you for making a trip that is on a bus. I'm not sure how long you were on there. I know I was on the road 6.5 to 7 hours each way, driving there on my own. So it was a lot to be able to, when it came down to physically show support and show a presence, but ultimately when it came down to it, is each person that was a member of the audience got to speak for 1 minute. So I spent between 13 and 14 hours to drive, sit in a chair for 3 hours, and speak for approximately 45 seconds. Adam here did the exact same thing.
You did the same thing?
Except for he rode on a bus. I don't do buses, so I didn't do it. my question is why did you do that?
I said it in my speech to the California legislation. Everybody in the porn industry is like a second family to me. And I did it because I fight for porn, and I love the industry, and I want to see it succeed, and I don't want to see any outsiders try to dictate the industry. And I think with what's going on here in the state of California with the laws and 5193 and, you know, suing the performers and the producers, all that stuff, all the initiative and the ballots and the AHF, everybody, I just feel that they're trying to dictate and attack the industry and harass the industry. And I feel that that's, we're a family, and despite everybody not getting along with everybody and people having their own agendas here and there in the industry, to me, everybody's a second family member to me. And I want to make sure that we all have our rights as human beings to make the smut that we want to make, because it's our God-given right living in this country and being free and doing what we want to do. That's the whole purpose of living in this country. So when we have people that in the state of California trying to dictate that law and dictate the industry and have their own agendas, to me is wrong. And so I'm going to, any time that within the great organizations like the FSC, like APAC, you know, those legitimate companies that we have, or those organizations that we have within the industry that fight for us, I love it. I love that Eric and Susie Q over at the Free Speech Coalition that organized things and let the performers know, hey, we got this going on, we got that going on. We would love everybody to support and come out and fight what we got, because we got a huge battle right now. So the reason I did that is because it's a family, and I wanted to protect the family.
So what did you say in your minute?
I told them, basically, I kind of made it a little personal with them, but not necessarily personal where I'm offending them. It was kind of more of like, let's think about what you're doing, and I'm going to throw it at you. I basically told them, everybody that's here, that's not here, that's in the state of California, or even with state of California, in the world, they're my second family. I'm going to protect them, and I'm here to protect them, and I'm here to tell you that this initiative is wrong, and it's leading to harassment. It's not right for us as human beings. We live in this country. It's great. We need to be pro-choice and free with what we're doing in this industry, and the rules that we're following, and the rules that we're doing with testing, with the protocols, is we're doing it the right way. We're the cleanest people on the planet. You know, we're doing the things the right way, and I'm going to fight for the second family. So then I told him, I said, lastly, everybody in this California legislation, I want you to go home and look at your family and think about your family. And how would you feel if your family was being harassed? Your rights were being taken away as human beings. How would you feel about that with your family? And go home and think about that. And then I told him, thank you. So, you know, I kind of threw it back at them a little bit to kind of make them kind of second guess. to let them know, for me, this is my family, and they're being harassed, and the rights are being violated. How would you guys feel if it was your family?
How many people spoke that day?
Probably it was a much smaller group of people than what we had in Oakland at the Kalosha meeting, which we had at least 100 people at the Kalosha meeting. This one, I would guess probably 25 people, maybe 30 people spoke.
Yeah, about 30, 35.
Wow. Yeah, it was not a huge turnout, but it was a small room. And they allowed everyone, they had a timer, and every person had 1 minute to speak. So they took the time. Now the panel of people that were there slowly dwindled. So it started off with about 10 people sitting there, ended with a four.
Oh,
maybe
they would because just get up and walk away.
Yeah, they had other meetings to go to. They had other things. And it's government. It's politics. It's a constitutional obligation that they have to do, a state constitution obligation that they have to do, is that they have to hear both sides when it comes to these initiatives that come up.
What did the other side say in this meeting?
The other side is saying the exact same thing that they always have, is that, you know, that performers need to be protected, that we're the big bad pornographers that are damaging people. Condoms are a necessary thing. I actually followed up right behind Adam. I was the next person up, and it was I don't do very well speaking. If I can do it behind a microphone, you know, in the privacy of the Julie Land studio, I do much better. But I went up and I took a different angle. I can't go up and basically, I can't represent the companies that I work for that are larger companies, because it's not my place. So I can only represent myself. And in this case, Alex was unable to go, and I wanted to give her a little bit of a voice, because she does produce content, and she is one of the people that can be fined and gone after, because she does have a financial she gets financial gain out of this, and so as an independent person, the law definitely affects her. And the angle I took with it is that her and I do perform together, and some of the cam shows and custom videos that we do, she actually pays me for this. So according to the law, I am her employer. Right. I'm her employee. And with this new law, things that when she produces content, she would have to reveal the address that she produces her content at to the state within 10 days of the of the actual shooting. Now, we shoot in our bedroom.
Would that go for him as well?
Yeah,
for
it would go
movies?
For absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Any content producer, you would have to release to the state where you filmed. There's a whole list of other things that you have to do. This was just one example, because we were definitely saying that this could lead to harassment. This is leading
murder.
To real names and things like that. I then continued with this is that anybody who is a content producer, anybody who is a director, anybody who creates content will need to have a license in the state of California to be able to create content. You shooting Julie Land, shooting a solo girl at your studio doing that, you will need in theory, need a license to be able to do that, because honestly, they can't separate it out. When you're doing girl, they can't go through and make a pornographer, oh, well, I only shoot solo. There was this one time I shot a boy-girl scene. Well, no. They don't separate it out in the law to say, only if you shoot
all of
penetrative sex. It's essentially, it doesn't separate anybody else. If you're creating pornography,
wow,
a girl masturbating with a toy is pornography. You have to be over the age of 18 to see it. It's pornography. So I pointed out, and I try to be professional. I've been up to Sacramento many times. I try and keep it at performing and calling it performing. But at the end of the thing, I said that I really didn't want my girlfriend to have a license to have sex with me. And somebody came up and said that was a nice little mic drop moment at the end of the thing. And I was like, did I just say sex to the legislation or legislators? Great. So
when's the results from all of this?
Well, ultimately, we don't know. I don't know how that's being handled, of whether or not they can reject the law. But when it comes down to it, it's going to go to the state ballot and will be voted on by
November
by the people.
Have you been active in FSC and everything?
Oh, yeah. Any time that I'm not shooting or not doing something, you know, the FSC always makes it a habit to let everybody know via email or tweet or whoever that, hey, we got this going on. So anytime that I can be of help to go and speak in front of people that need to be spoken in front of and taught about the industry, granted, I'm not nobody, but at least my voice is heard. So, and yeah, anytime, I'm always active. It's
very cool.
Yeah. Well, I really do appreciate you, as an industry member, but also as an FSC board member. I appreciate everyone that takes their time because it is a lot of time. We don't pay people. We barely feed people. It was like, but we do.
You didn't get donuts?
No donuts. I wasn't on the bus.
Just coffee.
God. I drove myself, so I was able to stop at and have steak and eggs for breakfast in Button Willow at one of my places, favorite called Willow Ranch Barbecue. And I had dinner on the way back. I stopped at Harris Ranch and had prime rib. So I had middle of California beef two times
in
one day.
Wait a minute. You drove up and back all in one day?
Yes. That's what I drove up. I left at 7 o'clock in the morning. I arrived at just before 2 o'clock. I changed my clothes in the garage of the parking garage of the next to the Capitol. Went inside. The meeting was done by five.
Yeah, it's about five.
Got back in the car. Got hit traffic in Sacramento and drove all the way home. By the time I got home, after stopping for dinner and everything, I got home just after midnight.
God. Yeah,
that trip. Now taking out the food
and
aspect.
And you took the bus.
I'll tell you in a minute.
I mean, it cost me about $80 in gas to do the thing. So this actually cost me money to go up and speak for a total of 45 seconds.
Hey, it's fighting for your rights. It's great. I mean, yeah, I took the bus. The FSC, Susie Q at this FSC, and Eric organized a bus, a bus to take to have a bunch of
performers. So how many people were on that?
It's about eight of us. Eight of us.
Was it one of those?
There was a lot of disappointment in that.
Was there a little yellow bus?
No.
It was a party bus that didn't quite have the party that we had hoped and expected.
Did it have the stripper pole and the lighting?
I'm considered the party.
So just the party.
So only eight people went on the bus?
Only eight people, unfortunately. It was a Wednesday. And they announced it a little bit late, and I kind of was thinking they should have announced it a little bit earlier, made a big fuss about it. They maybe would have had
I think what they got to do, maybe I'm wrong here because I'm on the outside of all of this, but like, don't you, I feel like they should go around, I don't know if Eric needs to do it or you or somebody from FSC needs to go to like each company and have a little presentation and explain to them what they're doing, or how do they do that? You're looking at me like,
yeah,
this
isn't our first rodeo.
Okay.
The FSC's been around for more than 25 years.
Throw a party and get all the performers to come and tell them what the fuck's going on. These performers
are
the idiots.
Not our first rodeo. It's difficult
Should I give Eric a call?
You should give Eric a call and tell him how
he's not doing
it right.
Give him some of my suggestions. Should I write these down, send them an email?
Eric is only 29 years old.
I know. There you go.
He will show up and kick your ass.
I know.
No, I mean, he's... But like, I mean...
No, I think Eric gets it. But I'm just saying, I feel like... I don't know. There should have been more than eight people there.
No, what we do... let me counter that with real quick. When we did the thing in Oakland in February, the FSC, and credit to them and APAC, they put on a promoting machine when it came to Oakland. Like, they told everybody. I think contacted a few companies and said, "Hey, it's going to be the day we're going to Oakland is going to be a non-porn shoot day.
Yeah,
cool. Nobody shoot. Let's make this a non-shoot day so everybody can come and go to Oakland because this is so important.
Right.
I think they need to get back to something like that. They need to. I'm not telling them how to do their jobs, but I'm just saying." Or go back to what we did with Oakland because that was such a huge,
such a good example of like
it was, for God's sakes, Avery. Mr. Avery was on the news.
Yeah.
That news that was huge. That was a big deal. Yeah. Being in that Oakland and being there with all the performers, it was such for me. That's an experience in a moment that I will never forget.
Yeah.
Being there and being with surrounded people. So I think we need to go back to that and sort of organizing and making an announcement like that and sort of. Going back to what we did, and I think we'll have a bigger turnout.
Yeah,
I mean, the battle is on, and it will rage on, and we'll see what happens in November.
This is still working out if there's going to be a ballot measure, right? That's what they're trying to figure out.
The initiative, This was the meeting to put it in front of the legislature, and they can, at this point, they can knock it down, but they may or may not do that.
And when
there's
a lot of
issues with the law, a lot of major issues.
I know, but when
do
they find out if it's going to be a ballot
measure?
That
I don't know.
I think it's sometime around August.
So at that point,
because they'll give you plenty of warning ahead of time. It's not gonna be like the day before November 11th.
Yeah, I mean it won't go on the ballot. Yeah. So they have to print ballots at some point in time, and there's a few ballots that they print up. So
yeah, it's a long battle. We got so many. I think other more meetings to go to. I think there's one more I don't know if it's in Oakland or not again, but there's one more big kind of
thing. Yeah, we're fighting on many fronts, but I wanted to bring this up. I know it made the show run long, but I wanted to bring it up, and I wanted to thank you for going out, and I appreciate you doing it. You were one of the few. San Francisco always sends out a lot of people, so that's how we rounded out our number. So probably about 10, a total of 10 to 10 people from Los Angeles, 10 to 12 people from Los Angeles. Yeah. And it was, you know, we still had a good showing. And I think they were impressed by us. And I know that there was definite questions about the law. So hopefully, if we're lucky, this thing gets shot down. If not, it goes to the voters. And if the voters choose to pass the law, it is enacted the day after. So I don't know what day in November we're voting, but the next day it is then law.
Wow.
So on that note.
Exactly.
Mr. Tarantino Triple X, I appreciate you coming out, Adam. I really, really do. Please tell me where we can, this is your time to plug yourself. So where can we find you out there on the interwebs?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Tarantino XXX. You can follow me on Instagram at Tarantino XXX, TRIPLEX. You can check out my website and my production company, TarantinoXXX.com. Be on the lookout for Scrambled X, my new thing that I got coming on, and some other cool little projects. So follow me there and check it out.
Very nice. Mr. Avery, do you have anything to plug?
How's
that soccer game going on over there?
I won't tell you the score, but it's a good game. No, I'm trying to think. Let's plug FSC. What's our website?
FreeSpeechCoalition.com. Go on there, become a member, donate. You can donate as little as $5 to the Free Speech Coalition. Every dollar helps. And I feel like it's an NPR pledge drive whenever I do this. But honestly, anything helps. Any support helps. Appreciate anyone becoming a member. Anybody that is a industry member.
And if you're like a fan of More with Mo.
Yes.
And Mo and Julie Land. And you're a fan of Chipotle,
mm-hmm.
donate a little
donate.
Bit.
Donate. Any performer or any industry member that is not a company owner or certain levels of people, it's a $50 membership. It's nothing. And in the scheme of things, especially with the talent, it's absolutely nothing. And we do a lot to help you out. And it's not to take away anything from APAC, but we do a lot to try and help out.
A lot of good.
So my name is Maurice. This is More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can listen to More with Mo on SoundCloud. You can listen to it on iTunes. My Instagram is The Average Mo. And you can check out everything in the Average Mo universe at TheAverageMo.com. Thanks for listening.